Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Haley, and with me today is Tony Pimpo, and we're going to discuss the art of conflict resolution. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I have a news flash. Conflict is imminent.
Are you ready for it?
That is the question of the day. Are you a conflict ninja, nimbly able to, you know, deflect conflict or resolve conflict and like all these things? Or are you hiding your head in the sand like an ostrich somewhere when conflict approaches and you're like, run? So that is what we're going to talk about today, because many people don't like conflict because they think it's a negative thing.
Right.
But I like this quote from Ronald Reagan. It says, "Peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means." And so we're going to start by talking about the case for conflict. There's actually there's reasons why we are wired to have conflict. And also there's also reasons why healthy conflict can be a good thing. It can bring resolution. And so the first point is that people are wired to disagree ever since the fall of Adam into sin. Probably before that, they may have disagreed which tree they were going to eat from today. It was like, are we going to eat from this tree or eat from that tree? But in our sinful fallen nature, it's just innate in us that we are probably going to disagree. We're going to have conflict. Hopefully it doesn't come to combative conflict, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, there is going to be conflict. There's going to be differences of opinions. That's the second thing, is as individuals, we are entitled to differences of opinions. We have a free will. However, there's a huge benefit and synergy to working together effectively so we can accomplish more than we can together than we can separately.
And so one of the things you mentioned about us being wired to disagree is if you think about even like the Tower of Babel, right?
That's good, yes.
Everybody was united. There wasn't disagreement in what they were doing, but because they were fallen, their goal was something that had to be disrupted. And so, in essence, that had to be scrambled in order for the destructive end to be avoided, right? So, like you mentioned, there's a huge benefit in synergy to working together effectively. So if we have the right goal in mind, we want to be on the same page working toward that end.
Well, and I think that's where having unity of purpose.
Yes.
And having a good, clear expectations. We talked about that in the last episode when we were talking about the necessity of delegation, how this there's a lot of conflict that can arise.
Maybe this is a great follow-up to that.
That's right, exactly. So if you haven't heard that one, this is a good follow-up. Go listen to that one and then come back to this one, or go listen to it after this one. But anyway, the point is, in business, in church leadership, in organizational leadership, in getting friends together, trying to decide where you're going out to eat for lunch, there's going to be differences of opinion because we have free will. But instead of us all getting mad and saying, I'm going to go pout in my corner and I'm taking my toys with me, right?
Yeah.
The two-year-old approach, it says, no, actually, come together, we can have a much better experience. And so I think that it's important. And to do that, conflict can actually be a healthy thing if you approach it from the right perspective, if it's handled properly, because it can facilitate and cultivate a spirit of unity rather than letting issues fester and tear us apart from each other.
Yes, I heard a quote that said, if you listen for the whispers, you won't have to hear the screams. Right. And I think that that applies to this topic. If you capture things when they're small and you deal with them before they become large, you are saving yourselves and so many other people headaches. I know my dad, he used to say, you can blow out a match very easily. Right. But when it becomes a forest fire, it's very hard to take care of. And so I think a lot of times that's how conflicts end up spiraling out of control, right? Because they become that forest fire because they weren't dealt with as a small issue.
Something very small can turn into something very big.
Yes.
And if you'd addressed it early on, it was just a small thing. It was just a small disagreement, a small misunderstanding, a small, you know, conflict. But it can turn into something very, very large. And it's kind of interesting if you look at history, you know, some of the things that people fought wars over was just like, you know, who kicked over the pickle barrel or something. You know, something, I don't remember, you know, I know there were several examples in history, something quite similar to that. I think of there was two families that were, I can't remember their names, but they were feuding, right? Mm. And there's actually a show at like Branson or something about this now. And Hatfields and McCoys, I think.
Yes.
Yes, right? And so the show kind of makes light of it. But like, if you go back and read the story, like, I think it's, I got kicked off, if I'm not mistaken, like someone stole someone's pig, right? And so then they started going after each other, and then someone shot somebody, and it turned into a bloodbath and went on for just years and like tore the entire families apart. It engulfed the entire, you know, area, the whole community, small community, but the whole community was like, you know, living out this drama with them because it was negatively impacting the whole community. And so instead of working together, it's like, hey, let's raise more pigs, you know, together. And we all have pigs, you know, have a big barbecue at the end. They were like, no, let's just go shoot up each other's houses and kill each other's kids and, you know, all these things. Like, how is that?
That escalated quickly.
Exactly. It's like, it's a pig, for crying out loud.
Right.
But the poor pig, he didn't realize what he was starting. But that brings us to this point that, you know, some, and probably in a lot of cases, most issues will not settle themselves by themselves, right?
Right.
They don't just kind of fizzle out. Sometimes, and you have to identify, okay, if I'm feeling that there's conflict, you have to be emotionally aware enough to say, am I just feeling this? Is there some internal issue I'm having and there's actually not conflict?
Mm-hmm.
Rather, you know, in those cases, yes, some of that may fizzle out because it's not a mutual. But if it's a very blatantly obvious, this is an issue, we need to address this, you know, it's probably not going to fizzle out on its own. But healthy conflict resolution skills are needed in most cases to bring peace to a situation, whether it's in business, in your personal life, whatever, you're going to need that. And we looked up a couple of analogies that I think was really good. One was conflict resolution as a bridge. Tony, how can conflict resolution be viewed as like a bridge?
Well, I think each side has its own perspective, right? So when you have a bridge, you're coming from two different places. And each one has its own interests, goals, and an idea of what should be done to move forward. Many times what I've heard as well is really looking at it, instead of looking at it as two positions, looking at it, what's the shared goal of this, right?
That's
so good. A bridge really isn't about two positions, although you are coming from two different positions, but the whole idea is that you're able to get across both
unity
directions.
Of purpose.
Yes, exactly. And so bridges connect those two sides and they allow for that free exchange,
right,
of information. And obviously, you know, if you carry through the analogy, you want a strong and stable bridge. Both parties have to contribute resources, time, and effort. And so I think that having a relationship of trust, being able to hear out both sides, many times people just want to be heard. So, you know, if in a business context, if you have an employee coming to you and there's a problem, they want to know that you're hearing them out. And many times, you know, I've had to deal with this in business. Somebody's very upset about something. The first thing I usually do is tell them, we're going to work with you.
Yes.
Like right off the bat. And the temperature immediately.
Give them hope.
Yeah, immediately goes down, right? Because they're not feeling that they have to try to convince me to do something about it. Like, I'm already there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, let's hear it out. And I think that giving people that, I think someone called it psychological air, basically,
good,
like they can breathe.
Take a deep
like,
breath.
Okay, I don't have to convince you that you need to listen to me. And that doesn't even necessarily mean that someone's always right. It just means that you're going to hear them out.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, if you start out with an abrasive, you know, raised fist position, like you're going into the fight mode, right?
Yes.
Then you didn't have to say a word, but just your body language, the way you're coming across, instantly, like you said, raises the temperature. Where if instead you kind of drop your hands, you kind of express empathy, right. You're like, hey, look, I know, I recognize that you're upset about this, and I see where you're coming from, and we're going to work through this together.
Yeah, dial all that down.
Yes. Even if you have if you're going to have to really blow their position out of the water.
Right. I mean,
you don't want to do that from an aggressive standpoint. You want to lower the temperature before you start adding degrees back to it.
Exactly.
And, you know, talking about building a bridge that's a process. And it takes time and commitment from both sides to do that. So, I think in Chris Voss's book, about Never Split the Difference, How to Negotiate Like Your Life Depends on It. Great, great book. But he talks about recognizing the type of person that you're negotiating with.
Yes.
You know, some people are acting logical and reasonable, but then sometimes he was negotiating for people's lives with like terrorists, right? Mm-hmm. Or like drug cartel leaders or, you know, people that are just kidnappers. And so he had to get down to the brass tacks of like, what does this person want? Are they willing to play ball?
What's driving them? What's motivating them?
Exactly. Yeah. What is their motivation? And so once he would drill down to that, then he's like, okay, we can work together and I can have this, you know, peaceful resolution where we can have this back and forth to come to a resolution. Or you have to realize they're literally off their rocker. They've got people, you know, they're waving a gun. They've got all these people held up in a bank. And he tells some really cool stories about that.
Yeah.
And he's waving this gun and it's like, this guy's crazy. He's not acting logical. He doesn't have clear goals. There's no way to find common ground. Then he has to send in the SWAT team, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to identify who you're dealing with, and that changes your approach. And so when you're building this bridge, you have to figure out what kind of bridge you're going to have.
Yeah. Is it logic based or purely emotion based?
Yes. And you have to work towards getting people on the same page. But once you do, you have, and I believe most people want, especially in the context of business and their job or, you know, commerce, whatever,
right.
They want to come to a resolution because they are, you know, they're in this to be a team, right?
Yes.
We want to do business together. But at the same time, some people you have to recognize the issue may not be the issue. There may be an emotion. I like what you said. There may be an emotional undercurrent where they've got an issue at home or somewhere else.
Then it's just a presenting issue.
It's presenting as a business issue. Well, you can't build a bridge based on a business issue that really has its conflict. The conflict is coming from an emotional standpoint. So you have to be in tune enough and have enough relational intelligence to understand, okay, here's where the issues actually are, and then kind of help guide that, especially as a business leader. Your job as the leader is to help guide that person to a safe place to where now we can build a bridge.
Right.
You're trying to build a bridge way downstream or way far upstream because that's not even related to where we're trying to cross right
here. That the quote unquote problem isn't the actual problem.
Right.
Yeah. And I've seen that before too, where someone's insecurity is driving all of these perceived problems, and that's a whole other issue. That's where you know, you're also a little bit of a counselor too.
Right. Yeah, you wear many hats as a business leader. But another way to think of this is conflict resolution is a puzzle. Now, you don't want to turn people into a math problem of like, how can I manipulate, if I can get that word out, you to fit in the square that I'm trying to make you fit into.
Right. Right?
So you don't want to do too much assumption, right? Because that's what happens a lot in conflict, is you assume the issue is the issue when it's not, or you assume this is what they want and you realize that's actually not what they want.
Yeah.
Again, going to Chris Voss, you know, he would have people that would kidnap people and they make like these big ideological claims like we're going to, you know, cut their heads off because of whatever. But he realized, you know what? They just want to get a big payday so they can party on the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally said he would figure out what type of groups they were. And so he knew that group, they weren't really committed to the cause of cutting people's heads off.
Mm-mm.
They just saw this as an opportunistic way to make money. and they just wanted to party over the weekend.
Collect a ransom.
Right. So they would start at like $100 million on Monday. By Wednesday, they were down to like $5 million. And by like Friday at, you know, at like 2 p.m, they would resolve for like $5,000.
And he figured out there's a pattern to it.
Yes.
You know.
And so he was a student of other people to recognize these patterns. And so, but now other people he would recognize and say, no, they are actually going to kill this person.
Right.
You know, so you have to recognize that and figure out what puzzle you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of times these are like a blank cardboard puzzle where there's not a lot of cues sometimes as far as colors and shapes and things of like how this all comes together. It's just a bunch of disparate pieces that you're trying to pull together.
Yeah. And many times people aren't actually saying what they mean. Many times it's not even because it's intentional. They may not even know exactly how to express what they really want to say. And so that's one of the things that I think was really good from Chris Voss's book, where he would say, you know, what I'm hearing is what, you know, this was said, but I'm hearing this, you know, it sounds like, it seems like that way. You're giving some space for that to develop, because many times someone will go in and you're really trying to dig to find out what the actual issue is.
Right.
So,
and he talked about finding the black swan.
Yeah.
I believe is how he phrased it, is you may be going along and you're trying to negotiate on, you know, a pay raise, right? And you're like trying to figure out why is this person, you know, combating why, you know, I need a pay raise. I need more money. Well, why? Well, they can't give you a clear reason. Then halfway through the conversation, you realize, oh, their spouse, they just found out that their spouse has a terminal illness or hopefully not terminal. That sounds very morbid. Maybe they have some, you know, need that has arisen where they have a huge financial crisis in their life.
Right. Well, all those would be black swan events.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, really, the issue was not that he needed it, felt like he needed a pay raise, and he wasn't all these things like, I'm not getting paid enough, blah, blah. No, the reality was there's a personal crisis that has arisen, and this is the way he's trying to resolve it. And so once you recognize that, say, okay, well, here's how we can work towards that. Well, if your performance increases, or we can, you know, maybe pull, you know, some of your bonuses in advance, or, you know, you can start working towards a resolution once you understand, okay, this is a temporary, you know, situation, but if you don't work to uncover that, then you aren't really, you're operating blind. You don't know what all the puzzle pieces are.
Yes.
And so that's important. So I think that's all really good. Let's get started into some tips for how to be that conflict resolution ninja, right? And I want to just preface this that, you know, I feel like I'm fairly good at conflict resolution, but at the same time, I see a lot of room for improvement. So no matter how good you are at this, there's room for improvement. Some people, again, they just want to, they're conflict avoiders.
Mm-hmm.
And they run from it. And in most cases, especially in business and stuff, I don't run away from it. I'm not necessarily running towards it, looking for conflict.
That's another problem, right?
That is its own problem. But at the same time, I don't run from it. But at the same time, I've noticed that maybe in areas like in my personal relationships, I'm probably less skilled at navigating this. Whereas in business, I'm really good at drilling down to the issue, standing my ground, whatever. But when there's an emotional connection, like with family or friends or relationships that I care about, or a business mentor or a leader who's important in my life, if conflict arises with that person, I'm like, oh, I don't do well at that. I'm like, oh, the weight of it changes my perspective. When if I'd applied the same skills that I apply when I'm in a business conversation with a client, you know, I can just ace that all day long.
Right.
So I think regardless of where you're at, these are going to be some good tips for how to get better. So number one is stay calm and composed. Keep calm and carry on, right?
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about your approach to staying calm, or what you think this means to stay calm and composed. What does that look like?
Well, they say that you think more clearly when you are calm. Many times if you allow yourself to really get upset, you're going to say things that you don't, you wish you didn't say, you know, or that maybe are just in the heat of that moment, you know? And so the tendency with conflict is everybody gets worked up, you know? Right. And so
you've each got a ratchet and you're ratcheting each exactly. other up.
Yeah, exactly. And like, one goes up one notch and then the other person goes up a notch, right? But I mean, they say the person with the most power in that room is the one that is the most calm, right? And so now it's always easier said than done, depending on what the issue might be. But I think being able to hear it out,
keep your composure,
and if need be, process some of it even before addressing it all right there. I know for me that can be beneficial. Sometimes I need a little bit to think about what somebody said, because the first, you know, answer is just from my perspective, right? But if I think about it from their perspective for a while, that helps. And so I think just kind of having that balance helps you to think clearly and communicate more effectively, you know?
Well, and I love how Proverbs chapter 15 talks about this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, right? But harsh words stir up anger.
Yeah.
So if we just jump out there and we're just like, we've got harsh words that may seem grounded and they may, you know, they may be valid and that may be exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
But that's not bringing resolution to the situation. No. So it's not an emotional dump on each other about how bad we, you know, feel it about each other right now. But so what are some practical ways to do this? So one, I think, is like you said, taking time to process and to like take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
I had a poster or a kind of a framed thing that my mother had gotten me years ago. It was, I think it was Thomas Jefferson's 10 canons of life to live by. And one said that if you're angry, you know, count 10.
Yeah.
All right. So take a pause. But if you're very angry, count to 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty important and impressive that, you know, having the control and the discipline to take that breath when you're like, ooh, mm-hmm. I feel myself going. It's like, here we go. My engine's running, you know. That's important. But the other thing, and this takes a lot of discipline, is controlling your tone and your inflections and the loudness of your voice, the volume, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you come to me and you come, you know, come in the door, slam the door, and you're
coming
like,
coming in hot.
Coming in hot, right? He's like, here we go. conflict is imminent, right?
Right.
It's coming. And you just immediately bombard me and yelling at me and screaming at me. If I match the tone just at the same volume and say, well, what are you coming in here complaining about? Blah, blah, blah. What about?
Yeah, it just goes.
What
level
happens
10
next,
right off the
then
bat.
They raise their voice a little bit because they have to take dominance. Well, you know, and like raise it up and then you have to match that. And so it just becomes like this arms race of who can scream at each other louder.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas instead, if that person comes in at a volume 10, right, and you're working your way towards a volume 20 like you want to, instead, if you lower yours to like a 5, then what happens to them is they may come down to an 8. And then you lower yours down to a 4 and they'll come down to like a 6. And then if you practice this several times, you can almost get to a whisper you mentioned early on instead of a scream. And it's amazing the difference that can be had just by practicing discipline. You know, in the military and operations and different tactics and SWAT, they talk about light discipline and noise discipline, right? Don't be showing lights because that makes you a target, and don't be making a bunch of noise that makes you a target. Well, that takes a lot of discipline. You have to be intentional about it.
Yes.
Right?
I think Chris Voss mentions the late night FM DJ voice.
Yes, I forgot about that. That's true.
It's like you're bringing the temperature down just with how you're speaking.
Welcome to Conflict 101. Let's get this resolved.
exactly. And like, you know, you mentioned some of those practical tips, like body language is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do when you are comfortable? You know, try to do that instead of suddenly adopt a, you know, really combative posture or cross your arms, you know, and that's all those protective, start stomping your feet. Like, yeah, I mean, that's the anger, but there's also the protective, like I'm being attacked kind of posture too. And all of those things, I think, contribute to that sense of emotional response. And so, you know, all of these things, like I said earlier, are easier said than done sometimes when someone comes right in. But if you already are thinking about this and you're practicing these things, I think that will set us up, all of us up, for better results.
Right.
You know?
Well, and this comes back to having a strong self-identity and a self-confidence in knowing who you are. And if you have a lot of insecurities, when someone confronts you, you're going to take it personal.
Yes.
And so you're going to feel affronted and offended and all kinds of other things, right? Whereas if you are able to disconnect that switch and your fight or flight reflexes come into play, because that's why people avoid conflict and that's why they fight aggressively in conflict. That's the two responses, is because that's a natural instinct.
Mm-hmm.
It's in our nature. But instead, you have to rationalize that away and say, okay, they're yelling at me, but they're not mad at me. This is not a personal affront, even though the words they use may come across that way. Really, the issue is something totally different.
Yes.
And so taking that breath, taking the time to process that is huge. Well, we were kind of running towards the end of our time for today, so we got to wrap up a little bit, and then we'll have to come back for part two of this. In part two, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about, we've got actually 10 different, this is just point number one, but we've got 10 different tips. We may have two or three parts to this particular topic.
It's a big subject.
It's a big subject, but I think it's important. But also, we're going to share some personal stories. I know I've got one in particular where I ended up, we were in the land business. We buy and sell real estate and owner finance it. And so, typically we have really good relationship with our customers and our clients and everyone. But I know I had, one particular customer who, got behind on their payments, different things. And, I'm not going to tell you how it ended now, but I'm going to tell you it got quite interesting.
Tune in next time.
Right. Conflict impending. Right. And so you'll definitely have to tune in next time for that. But I wanted to leave you with a couple of book recommendations for today. Is we've mentioned a couple books. One is Emotional Intelligence 2.0. Is if you're not emotionally intelligent, which I struggle with personally, then you need to read this book. It's by Travis Bradbury, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And we'll leave a link to these books in the show notes for you guys. The other is Rational Intelligence. And this is by Darius Daniels. Highly, highly recommend it.
Is that relational intelligence?
I'm sorry. Yes. What, did I say something different?
Rational.
Rational intelligence.
Hey, it is. But.
It is. You have to be rational, but relational intelligence. Thank you. That's why he's here, to keep me on the straight and narrow here. see, this was conflict. We had a difference of opinion
about
what the name
right
of the book was.
Air.
And we resolved it. And see, this is awesome. So Relational Intelligence by Darius Daniels is very good. And then number three is Never Split the Difference, How to Negotiate Like Your Life Depends on It by Chris Voss.
Such a good book.
Oh, it's very good. And I believe you've taken his master class as well. Is that right?
Yep. And I've read that book as well. And very, very good. It applies in all different areas of life. So highly
That's
recommend.
Good. Well, and one of my last quotes I want to leave you with before we go is a quote by Gandhi, you know, and that is, an eye for an eye will only make the whole world blind, because we're all going to be trying to go after each other's eyes at some point. And then the Bible also talks about, you know, how you need to figure out the issues in your own eye before you go trying to pluck out.
Right.
You know, if there's a speck in your brother's eye, but you've got a beam in yours, you need to resolve that first.
And there's a higher way of handling it.
There is
that
a higher,
Jesus talked
higher
about,
point.
Right?
And that's the point. Is our goal with the Blessed Business Podcast is to encourage Christian entrepreneurs and business leaders to grow, to start and grow and build successful companies that have kingdom purpose, that have a bigger purpose than just an ego trip.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're here to make money. We're here to build the kingdom. We're here to demonstrate Christian principles in the workplace. That's what business's mission is all about. And if you go around and you're a powder keg ready to go off at any time, you're a dynamite with a small short fuse and it's already starting to spark a little bit.
Wear thin.
How is that a good representation and reflection of Christ?
Yeah. Well, especially, you know, as these companies grow, most of the time we're not going to be able to fill them all with people that we know or that are in a church, for instance. Sure. We're going to have a large different circle. And so I think we want to be able to be a good witness to those that we work with. What a testimony that could be, right?
Yes.
To work with someone every day and see that, yeah, they're not perfect, but they're working to, you know, exemplify these things.
And your Christianity shows the most in points of friction.
Yeah.
And like that story I'm going to tell next time when you tune in about how I handled that client situation, is that's really the true test. It's not when everyone's, you know, saying good things about you, but it's when men revile you.
Yeah.
Do you turn the other cheek?
Yeah.
Do you go above and beyond? How you do that is one of the biggest testimonies that you can give. And as they say, you know, you're the only Bible some people will read.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only Jesus some people will see. Mm-hmm. And so if you're reflecting, if you're being a good reflection of him and his and the values that he represents and the Bible represents to the world, then you're going to be a much better witness for Christ.
Absolutely.
And, so for today, that's all we've got time for today. But tune in for part two of conflict, the art of conflict resolution. And so thank you again, Tony, for joining me today. And I will see you guys in the next episode, or y'all be listening to us in the next episode. All right. Have a blessed day.